Hey everybody, welcome to J2K Podcast. I'm Jeff.
I'm Justin.
I'm Christine.
Meow!
And that was not Corrine, who is away in Ohio visiting her family.
Ohio!
Ohio!
And we weren't here last week because everybody was doing holiday stuff and I couldn't get my kids to do a podcast with me. But tonight, we have a very special guest. He is a self-proclaimed burglar, a underwater BB stacker, and a general of underground piano army. His name's Kent. Hey, Kent.
Hey, man. Good to be here.
I made all that shit up.
I know. I'm like, what exactly is an underwater BB stacker? That was like totally random.
Well, that's old school.
That's like precision.
I was pretty proud of my general of an underground piano army.
So
what the fuck is that?
So when I get to the J2K podcast studios, the door is usually unlocked and I can let myself in, even though I knock first anyway. I don't know why. So I let myself in and I walked up the stairs and a man I had never seen before came out of the kitchen and held a knife up to my face. It was good to meet you, Ken.
Oh, yeah. He's very protective of his food plate.
That was a test. You passed.
Yeah, I had the greatest reaction to seeing a stranger with a knife in my face. I laughed.
You're like, oh, God.
So, yeah, so we just had Christmas just happened. It's how many days later? Three?
It's the 27th today.
Yeah. 2 days later?
2 days later.
2 days later. I pretty much hit gift home runs with my sweetie Christine over here. And spent some time with some of my functional family and some of my dysfunctional family. And then my work family. And yeah. And we miss Corrine.
We do. We hate it when she's off to college.
Our baby girl's off to college.
Do the listeners know that she's like our daughter? Like we've called her our daughter? I thought she was your uncle.
I don't know. Did we talk about that on the podcast?
I don't know.
Did her laundry at our house? Like, I think we talked about
that. Oh, yeah. We did when she was doing laundry. Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you just tuning in for your first time, for the second time,
good luck.
Corrine's water, is on a well. Her house is on a well, and it ran dry, and they had to redo a well or something like that. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's expensive, too. I didn't realize how expensive it is to dig a well, but it's over $10,000. It's between $10,000 and
$20,000. Wow.
Which is not unlike our listeners. How many listeners we have?
It is. $10,000 or $20,000.
We're just so famous.
People every day.
You told me you had millions of listeners.
In our hearts.
I said 35.
Million?
I know you asked me. I said, I believe it's like millions. No, it's like 30 to 40.
We know most of our listeners on a first name basis. I think that's more than any podcast can say.
I also think most of our listeners have been guests on our podcast. So
do you have to pay them?
They pay us.
That's not true, babe.
You know?
Like, okay. Don't make shit up if you don't know.
That's our favorite saying, by the way. Don't make shit up if you don't know.
He said, do we have to pay the listeners to listen?
I have been giving away some stickers, because we have J2K podcast stickers now.
Yeah, we do.
I know.
They're pretty sweet.
That's kind of low pay to put up with this, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
I
invite them, they say yes, I don't have to pay them.
Oh.
And usually I feed them.
Yeah.
But we feed them.
Pay them with our friendship.
Exactly. And a cozy place to stay for a few hours.
Yeah, so Kent is a longtime friend. His age is unknown. He's
19.
Yeah, he says he's 19, but he's more like a warlock that is like in a different like dimensional place with age. But we did a lot of drugs together. That's true.
Yeah, they were good.
Prior to my sobriety.
Yeah, Jeff was telling me a story before you got here, Justin, that he was driving back from God knows where, and the road was like a rainbow.
Me and Kent took LSD and went to WWF wrestling when Hulk Hogan was famous.
Oh my God.
And I can't remember how the beginning started, but he drove, and we got to where we parked, and we walked, and like, I don't remember how, when we got high.
We took it too soon.
Whatever that means.
We couldn't find our seats. We had to have help.
Yeah. But it was just like you would imagine.
I think at that point, your special needs.
That's probably why you got front row. You didn't have those tickets. You were in the
We had second row tickets. I mean, like, there's like the ring and chairs around it. Second row.
Wow.
But we were too high to figure out where our seats were. And we were up in the middle. Walked clear around once. And then, like, in the movies, like, you imagine when people, like, in a movie where people are high on psychedelics. And, like, when it's first person perspective and you're talking to somebody and, like, their face, like, looms in at you. Like, that's what was happening. And the guy was, the usher was like, "Oh, here, let me help you." As this, you know, we hand him the tickets and he's like, "Right this way." And
they're talking to you, but all you hear is like,
"No, I heard him." But it's like loud and like there's people everywhere. And he took us to the fucking second row. And we're just like, "Oh my God." And like Kent says, as soon as he sat down, the bell rang. Like for the match to start.
The lights went down and out they came.
Oh, what? That's awesome.
And in between rounds, there was a kid sitting in front of us, and he was turned around staring at us when there was no wrestling going on. Just like, oh my God.
They were all staring at us.
Yeah. The whole, all like 10,000 people were staring at you.
Everybody.
And then tell them how you...
Well, then when it was over, I don't know how we made it out of that fucking place. I have no idea. All I know is we were outside, and for whatever reason, like, I've always had this innate directional sense, even I was able to find the truck. And then he's like, "I can't fucking drive, you have to drive." And I drove home. And imagine if your car, imagine the road is half of a toilet paper tube. And your car is big enough that two of them could fit on the top of it and drive past each other. The road was curved like that, and I was leaning over, and the white stripe and the reflector stands on the side of the road. Like, I knew that I was right side up, and I knew that I was driving in between those, but my sensation and my vision was I was on a round road.
You're down the side somewhere.
Yeah.
I took acid and realized I had to drive home once. Like, I gotta go home. And I knew it was a bad idea as soon as I got in my truck. And you know how when you're drunk, sometimes you can put your fingers up and line them up with the lines on the road?
No!
It's kind of like you're in an airplane or something. You just like, you put your fingers up and you line them up with the lines on the road. Well, I tried doing that.
I never heard of that.
I tried doing that, but the steering wheel, the lines in the road, my fingers, everything looked like it was on top of a big square of Jello that somebody shook. Everything was like, like the road was just like swerving in slow motion. Like, it was terrifying. I got home.
Wow.
And you didn't get a ticket, so.
Do you think that you were swerving with the road?
Oh, I don't know. I wondered that while I was driving. Like, am I swerving all over the road? Because I knew, I've never taken enough acid to not know, like, oh, I'm just high. Like, there was always me in the background that's like, this is great. Like,
same.
It's just like watching TV, you know, and the TV's being crazy. Like, there's sane me in the background that's like, okay, this is happening.
Like, you know you're on...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm giggly and I'm a little out of it, but, like, there are moments where I'm like, oh, it's, this is happening because I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never taken psychedelics where I haven't, like, known I was high. Like, I am fully immersed in the experience. But, like, I mean, because one time we took mushrooms. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go for it.
Only once?
Well, this one time, we took mushrooms, and, like, he lived on top of this hill, or a forest around him, and there was a guy named Gary, I think, that lived in a house up, like, through the woods, and we were walking through the woods at night, and the guy's house was round, right? It was a round house.
Part of it.
And it looked like a fucking spaceship that was about ready to take off.
The Enterprise.
Well, however you saw it, but...
What about
we were
geese?
In the woods, and there were flocks of ducks flying through the woods.
In the dark?
All around us.
Flying.
And both
but
of you
not
saw
really.
It? Did both of you see it?
Yep.
Well, I heard them. And I'm just like, and I knew that it was not real.
Yeah.
On some level, it must have been. It was very real to me.
Except interdimensional ducks. Yeah, or geese or whatever.
Well, there was a whole flock of them flapping by us, and you could hear them and almost see them. It was kind of shadows, and they were there, sort of.
It's hey, everybody, this is the J2K Podcast Drug Edition. So,
so it's weird we both experienced the same thing that wasn't actually
oh,
there.
That's not the most heavy-duty experience. Go ahead.
Did I tell you guys the story when I did it?
Did what?
Acid for the first time.
No.
It was on bottle cap candies that were individually wrapped, like individually wrapped lifesavers with little zigzag ends, but they had bottle cap candies in them.
So they've been dipped in acid?
Yeah. So I
oh,
ate one
shit.
Of them. I ate one of them. Yeah, it was like professionally done. And my friend, he was like, I didn't feel anything after 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're not.
So
I'll take another one.
So he broke one in half and was like, here, eat the other half. Eat. And I ate a half.
Oh, boy.
So,
I know I would have waited longer.
His yeah. girlfriend, Julie, was staring at the bath mat. She kept going in the bathroom and staring at the bath mat and
yeah.
walking out. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, Julie? And we'd gotten giggly by then.
Go look at the bath mat, Joe.
She said, I'm trying to see when I'm high. I can tell when it starts to kick in because the bath mat looks like TV static.
Oh.
And so she called me. She called me.
Come
in
on
there.
In.
She called me in there, and she was like, "It's working." And I went in there, and sure as shit, the bath mat looked like a TV static, like TV on static. So we had a blast. We looked at Christmas lights. We played in the snow. At one point, we were watching 200 Motels by Frank Zappa.
Oh wow!
Which is like tripping acid, even if you're sober.
Yeah.
With amazing music.
Oh, and the movie's crazy. Ringo Starr plays Frank Zappa and says he's been kidnapped by Frank Zappa to play in the movie. It's a trip. Anyway, I realized they weren't around and tried to find them in the house, and they were getting it on in the bedroom.
And you walked in?
And I walked in. So I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So that's when I got to my truck. I'd say after about 10 hours, I was ready to get off that roller coaster, and it was still going.
How long does it usually last when you take that kind of stuff?
I think it just depends on how much you take and how fast
yeah.
you can metabolize it.
Yeah.
8-10 hours, generally.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never done it. I had an opportunity to try it in college, and my roommates were like, you know, just, you have to be mentally prepared. Like, if you're not, like, if you're an anxious person, you're going to be worried about it, you're going to have a bad experience.
Yep.
So, like, I psyched myself out of taking because I was worried that I would get too in my head. So, it was me and my three other friends, and they, like, so I kind of babysat them when they, we went to a bar, and they were just, so it was, like, this old bar, and it had, like, knotty pine wood walls, and, like, it's packed. We're in a bar of college kids, and they're all staring at, like, the knots in the wood. Like,
yeah, the
having,
wood grain
they're,
is
like,
just going
they
nuts.
They were turning into faces and having conversations
yes.
with, like, the wood. And then I brought them home, and my roommate had gotten, like, way back then, I don't know if they still make these, it was like a balloon, but it had arms and legs. It was like a birthday balloon. And it had, like, these, like, accordion arms and, like,
yeah.
strippers.
Oh, yeah,
and
those.
I go into her room, and she's having a full-on conversation with this balloon.
Yeah.
Like, all right. We're all safe now. But, yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah, Christine thought to herself, I want to try that.
So
I've always wanted to talk to the balloon people.
So So you saying you have to be in the right frame of mind and everything. Yeah. My dad said that he was at a bonfire, and they were everybody sitting around the bonfire was drinking Budweiser, and this guy kept passing around a bottle of beer. My dad would take it like he was, "You want some?" Yeah. And he took a sip, and the beer bottle came back around, and he was like, "You want another drink?" And he was like, "Yeah, man." So he took a drink, and as it was coming around again, the guy was like, "Are you sure you want another drink?" And he was like, "Yeah, man, I know I'm young, but I've had beer before."
Beer.
And as he's drinking it, the guy was like, "It's Ghost, Holmes." And he was messed up for like so long that he didn't know if he was gonna sober up again. and had never done acid before.
Wow.
Yeah, that's gotta be
that
scary.
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
That happened to a, like one of the doctors I work with. Was he was in college. He went to a party, and he said he'd been studying all day, and he was really hungry. And he goes to this, gets to the party early, and there's a bunch of brownies and snacks out. And he started eating the brownies, and they're really good. Yes. And by like the third brownie, they're like, "Dude!" And they were like dosed with weed. And he's like, "Oh my god, I've like." Got so high, I had no idea.
Uncomfortably high.
Yeah.
Do you remember those amazing brownies I made with that? We had a brown paper shopping bag filled with leaf, like homegrown, and I sieved it all into a powder, and I made a thing of brownies, and there was so much weed in it. Oh my god, we were so high. You don't remember that?
Sure, Jeff.
Is that the ones we put in the freezer and gave Dave some?
I don't remember.
We gave Dave some, and he was laying out in the yard, and he wants me to get a shovel and kill him. He was felt so uncomfortable.
Oh, gosh.
He ate a whole pile of them. We warned him, but he didn't pay attention.
That's the worst, being uncomfortably high.
Me and Kent, and I believe it was Lisa, a gal I was dating at the time, took LSD out of his property. And we had been out in the woods, like, just, we would go out in the dark, high, on psychedelics, and just go traipse around in the woods. And it was insane, but we were coming back, and we had walked out through the woods to the road. And we were walking down the road, and there's, like, no way I can explain it that you would ever understand or see what I saw.
It was really dark.
But, like, it was really dark, but... On the road, like it was, there was enough light where you could see the outline of the road.
And slightly.
Gravel road. And we're walking down the road, all in a line, and all around us and next to us are what I can only describe as gigantic forest sentinels. Like, like not trying to hurt us, they were like protecting us and walking us home.
Like making sure you're safe.
Yeah.
I could hear their boots on the gravel.
Well, I didn't hear boots.
I did.
They were gigantic, like, creatures.
And you both saw them?
Oh, we all did.
I could feel them more than see them. They were all around us, and they were gigantic.
Maybe you guys traversed into a different plane.
Yeah.
It very well could have been. Yeah.
Or the power suggestion.
What the deal was is we were able to see other planes while we were in our plane.
You were in fairyland.
I thought I was the only one seeing it. We get back to the house.
Oh, yeah. No, we didn't talk about it while we're walking. We're all very silent.
You didn't say that part.
No,
okay.
We were all extremely silent because we're all experiencing the fucking gigantic forest sentinels.
They were on the edge of scary, but
okay.
Not quite.
And so, very... And we all got back to the house, and we always started a fire, and we always made some food so that when we'd come back to the house, it would be warm, there would be food, we could just chill. And then we'd, like, smoke weed like mad or whatever. But we got back, and somebody said something about the fucking forest sentinels, and we're all like, "Oh, my God, me too."
Oh, man.
Like, fucking crazy, like, giant trees is what I kind of... To me, they felt like gigantic. I'm trying to describe it in a way that people would understand. Like in the Lord of the Rings, when the trees, they rode on the trees.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't that. But they were giant like that, and just fucking like I can't explain it.
There was one right by me, and it was darker it was really dark out there, but there's this dark column that was marching along. I hear the boots, and I thought it was you and Lisa, and it turned out you were in front of me, and something was there walking right by me. I wasn't scared, but I was like, I don't go home.
Are you sure it wasn't Bigfoot?
There's no fucking way to know.
Because what if you missed your chance? That was your one chance to see Bigfoot in your eye.
What the hell, babe? Like, you're going to turn it into this? Is this how the weekend starts for us?
So like not to change topics
like,
at all.
You guys had this amazing experience, but you fucked up.
Well, he's always, so he talked about, so Bigfoot is a big thing out here in Oregon for you listeners. And
yeah, all of them that listen from Oregon.
I know. Just in case, there's one from Mexico.
Oh,
right?
Switzerland, yeah. Belgium, and Mexico.
Exactly. So as a child, we were talking about on the road trip how I'm always looking in the forest to like see if I see Bigfoot. You know,
you
like
are?
Driving along. That's what we were doing on the road trip. And then Jeff explained as a child, that's what he would always do.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, and I may have seen Bigfoot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like behind my grandpa's house, up high heaven, out of Mac. I remember looking out and there was a tree and it looked like a Bigfoot head sticking around the corner. It could have been another tree for all I know, but I remember just being really scared because it was way fucking tall, hairy face, and I ran off.
What?
Bigfoot won't hurt you.
What's going on?
What?
Oh, I thought
Bigfoot won't hurt you?
Making a signal.
No?
No, I don't think Bigfoot will hurt you. No. I think he's just curious. Sometimes he comes out to see what we're up to. That's probably what was happening. He was trying to make friends.
None of you know that for sure.
I don't know.
She just made it up. It's true.
No, you're not supposed to make it up if you don't know.
Who are we talking about? Who was talking about Bigfoot, like, smacking trees? Like, with logs?
Was it on a podcast?
I don't know if it was on a podcast or I have the worst memory ever.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was on a podcast, but that's
were
we
talking about
something? They crap.
They were like, you can hear them knocking on trees with sticks.
Yeah,
and that's like a warning to stay away.
Oh,
and like not too long after, I think I was talking to two hunters, and not too long after they said that, they heard like knocks on trees, like. From hundreds and hundreds of yards away.
Were they like camping, hike, or hunting?
Or hunting.
Or they were just like hunting.
Yeah.
So they could go back to like their house or their lodge later, not in a tent.
I don't know.
Because can you imagine if you were like in a tent and you heard that?
I don't even remember who I was talking to. I don't remember the context.
Too much of that acid. Should have done one and a half bottle caps.
That one time I did it.
I know my old zero times.
Well, I balanced that for you because
I
took
two. The highest I ever got though was on psilocybin mushrooms.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for real. And it was Robbie and Lee had picked mushrooms, and then they tried to dry them with a hair dryer, and it basically just turned into mush. And they just gave me this bag, and so I took it. And I soaked it in water, so it all came out of the bag, and then I reduced it in water to where it was like a thick, slimy shit, and we put it in tea and drank it, and that was when the ducks or the geese were in the woods.
That was awesome.
Oh my God, that was the highest I've ever been.
I have a really dumb question, because this is how little I know. Are mushrooms actual mushrooms, like from the forest?
Yeah.
So could they kill you if you eat too much?
Some will.
Some will damage your liver, yeah.
Okay. So how do you know which ones are, like, make you high versus ones you just put in
somebody,
your salad?
It's passed down from generations. Okay. I'm serious. Somebody tells you. They're called Liberty Caps, they call them. And they grow around cow shit. And when you take the cap, they look a certain way, too. But if you take the cap and you break it, there's a membrane, like a clear membrane, that you can see. That was what somebody taught me. And so we'd go pick them.
And that's how you knew what it was?
Yeah.
That was by the clear membrane?
Well, somebody told me that, and it proved to be true, but I could just tell from looking at them.
So you would just literally go into the forest and find them, or go to
into
pastures.
Into a cow field.
And
yeah, you went in a pasture.
Mushrooms.
You went in a pasture, not really the woods.
Yeah, the
cow poop mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, back home, kids would pick up those cow patties and throw them at each other.
Yeah.
Have cow patty fights.
Well, that's a completely different topic.
Cow pies.
You know, that's kind of back to our first podcast.
Who just looked at cow shit mushrooms and decided, yeah, I'll eat that.
I'm going to try that and see what happens.
Probably, you're right. They were hungry and got hungry.
And then they're like, wow.
An unexpected surprise with dinner.
Like dinner and a show.
is that the only kind of mushroom that gets you high, or are there a lot
no,
of different
there's,
kinds?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's cubensis from Mexico. And Amanita muscaria. Like the red and white ones that are in like all the fairy tales. Mm. There's a reason that they're in fucking kids' fairy tale stories. Because you fucking see fairy tales when you eat them.
Yeah.
So, Dad had a friend that was trying to buy, what's the stuff? It's,
heroin?
It's from, it's chemical, the chemical peyote.
DMT?
Mescaline.
Mescaline.
Oh, yeah.
Dad was, had a buddy that was trying to buy some mescaline. And found a guy that was selling it. And when they were in high school. And when he bought it, he was like, well, how much should I dose? And the guy said, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know, do a spoonful. And he was never the same.
That's a precise measurement.
That's way too much.
He never came back. They had to like tell him, all right, it's time to shower. Oh, all right, no. You need to eat something now.
Like ever?
Ever.
So what was he supposed to do? Like a drop versus a teaspoon?
Like, yeah, like a bump.
Oh, jeez.
A bump.
That's horrible.
That's a different drug term.
Yeah.
You should have seen what I bought the other day. I bought this bottle, and they said it was really strong, and instead of reading directions, I just took a swig of it. And the first couple hours was so fun. And after that, I went home and got in bed and pulled the covers over my head for 3 hours. It was too strong. And then it was okay. So my friend, I said, hey, you should try this, but just take a tiny sip. Well, she just takes a big gulp. So she's running down the street with her hands in the arm, trying to come down. And then my neighbor, I gave her some. The next day I talked to her and she says, oh, it was okay. It was so strong, it was ridiculous.
What was it?
Red Bull?
No. It was a marijuana product from a marijuana store.
Oh,
okay.
It was
THC.
It was kind of like skim milk. It tasted like pop.
Oh.
And do not drink very much of it. A tiny sip, but really good. Yum. Oh, I don't do drugs. I forgot.
Not anymore. Not since December. Oh, it is December. Shit.
I ran out.
Man, the last time I got high, it was the first time I went to a pot shop here in Oregon. It's when my ex and I were still together, and her and the kids were gone on vacation, and I had to stay. I couldn't get off work, so I went to the pot shop and I was like, "Give me something that I just want to get high and play video games, and give me something you know that I don't want to do a lot." I got so tore up and so paranoid that it scared me. The thoughts that I was having were scary. And then I looked it up, and as I was looking at it, I was like, this is like schizophrenia. These thoughts are like, that voice in the back of my head, sober me, is like, you're being schizoid right now.
And the pot's name is Bipolar.
The Bipolar Express.
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and there were warnings as I'm high and paranoid,
like about
warnings
that,
on the internet
about
being
yeah.
Having us schizophrenia run in your family.
Oh jeez.
That getting too high can unlock it, or doing lots and lots of weed can unlock it.
Yeah. It's like a
and my grandmother was a paranoid schizophrenic.
So great, you unlocked the schizo.
Yeah,
schizo.
You completed a task in the video game and unlocked your schizophrenia.
Achievement unlocked.
That's right.
You have become schizophrenic.
Now wear your schizophrenia robe.
You got an award.
That comes with a bib, I think.
Yeah, the bib of schizophrenia, like, for all your jewels. God damn, dude.
It was scary while it was happening. Like I would be watching the news. Like, I got so high I couldn't play video games. And
been there, done that.
And then watched the news and just knew. I knew for a fact that like everybody was out to get everyone, and that it was bad.
Were you getting like special messages from like the television, just that you and only you could see?
Yeah. Like,
oh boy. Yeah, it did get unlocked, dude. That's like the opposite of psychedelics, because my experience on psychedelic drugs is that I was could see like the how everything is connected, and you know how we like really are all one. That's where I get my whole idea of that whatever is greater than us or God or higher power is like a spark in every living thing that is all this thing.
Yeah, I
got that from psychedelic drugs.
I agree. Doing LSD was spiritual for me too. I had a lot of spiritual moments.
Yeah. And being able to know you were just high, so that, because like I remember people saying like, don't ever look in the mirror when you're on like psychedelic drugs.
Because your face.
I remember coming home from being high on acid or from mushrooms, and I'd go to the bathroom.
You have dysmorphia.
And
or
I would
whatever.
Stare at my face. Like in one particular time, I stared at myself until my reflection turned into a yellow smoke that came out of the mirror, and then I no longer had a reflection.
Oh, God.
And I was like, man, that's awesome. And, you know, like, and I'd sit in the front room, and there was a light outside of the particular house where I was at, and it was where my mom lived, and she had plants everywhere, and the shadows of the plants were, like, moving,
and
they came and wrapped all around me, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, somebody who, like, can't handle drugs would be having such a bad trip right now, but it was like plants were, like, going through my soul, and, like, enveloping me, and it was nature and life and love. But I was thinking, God, some people would just be freaking the fuck out because the shadows were fucking curling around me. You know what I mean? And then my reflection turned to yellow smoke and fucking disappeared. And that was
awesome.
I was a vampire all of a sudden. It's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can remember every tree I walked under while I was high, while I was tripping, looked like it was arching over me as I walked under it, like,
just to cover you,
closing in, like as I'm walking under each, like the branches that, you know, go over the street a little bit. Yeah,
I can't relate to any of that, but I did when I got my teeth pulled as a kid. So kind of the same. I was on the laughing gas.
You're ketamine high.
Because I'm like, ow, never tried acid or LSD. But like I remember like counting backwards and stuff with the thing, and all I remember is the dentist over me going, rubbing his hands together.
What? Like a villain.
Yeah, and I was like, ah!
my God, what an asshole.
I don't think he actually was doing that, but that's like what I remember. Like when I was counting back, maybe he was an asshole and he
terrifying.
Didn't do that.
Yeah, I get
like,
that though.
I don't know, I was like 12 or 13 because I had to get teeth removed, and I remember, like, that's what I remember.
I was younger than that and had to have a cavity filled, and they gave me laughing gas. And when I got out of the room, I can still remember my dad saying, did they give you gas? And I was like, why would they give me the farts? Why would going to the dentist give me the farts?
I remember my son Jackson getting the gas. And like they're like, you want to ask him if he's all right? And I'm like, how you doing, buddy? And he's like, mouth pried wide open. He's got a fucking nose thing on. And he's like, 7. And he's like, and he just gives me the giant thumbs up. Fucking doing great, Dad.
Elbow fully extended, thumbs up.
Yep.
They give laughing gas to 7-year-olds?
Yep.
That's crazy.
It's mixed with oxygen.
Yeah.
Like, just enough to get their mind out of the...
Yeah.
They also give it to 37-year-olds in the parking lot of Safeway.
What?
Well, if you go to the right restaurant supply store, you can give it to yourself endlessly over and over.
You can get
Whippets.
Yeah. Whippets.
I tried those in college.
Yeah?
One time I tried it.
I have a Whippet
story. Yeah, that is like nuts. I literally felt my brain cells dying. I'm like, this is a bad idea. I like having my brain cells.
So my whippet story is I worked at the University of Washington sports bar called Dante's Steak and Grog. Shout out, Dante's! And it was my day off, and it was Friday night, super busy, and I was drinking there, and I had a whole fucking box of whippets, and we had, and I bought a whipped cream canister, and it has the whippet charger on the side, and you just like pour some sugar, pour some heavy cream in there, you put the thing in there, and you go crack it, and it goes, whoop, makes whipped cream. Psh.
Yeah.
Well, you don't put any cream or sugar in there, and you just crack it in there, and it's like, good to go. Like, cool. So I'm doing shots of Jägermeister.
I'm trying to remember, what is a whippet?
It's the same as the stuff from the dentist.
Okay. So it just makes you feel like...
It's nitrous oxide.
Okay.
You're laughing, yes.
So I go into the walk-in cooler behind the bar, and I've got a pad and a paper, and I'm heavy on the Jägermeister, and I start doing whippets. And I'm in there fucking wow, 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 and I'm writing poetry. The most beautiful fucking poetry that man has ever fucking heard, right? Ever. I'm whipping up, I'm fucking writing, and then the next day I wake up and I open up the fucking notebook. Not one word is legible. It's a bunch of scribbles. Not one fucking word. I'm like, the most beautiful poetry in the world is lost. Like, I would have had to go to, like, the University of Washington, like, anthropology department to have them fucking read those hieroglyphs I fucking drew. God damn it. I was so high, man.
I used to deliver this publication all around town when I lived in Columbia, Missouri. Ad sheet, pick it up and save a lot. So I was delivering the ad sheet, and I pulled into the mall, and I looked at as I'm getting the ad sheets together, I look in the car next to me, and these kids had cans of air, like the can of air that you'd spray a computer out with, upside down, and they were huffing it. And when you do that, it like slows your like freezes your vocal cords.
Yeah.
Or makes them like rigid, maybe not freeze, but it like...
Well, it gets super cold.
I don't know if it was getting cold or what, but they... Or, and I don't even remember if it was upside down or not. I just remember them huffing it.
Well, and that shit is not good for you either.
No. Yeah. So I knocked on the window, and they're, like, out of it. And they're teenagers, and one of the kids rolled... The kid I knocked on the window, he rolls the window down. And I was like, how are you boys doing? And he went, I'm good. Like, his voice was so deep for the whippets.
Hey, what's up, man?
And I was like, you guys know that's just gonna, like, eat holes in your brain, right? Like, that stuff is not good for you.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
It's like the weirdest voices. All right, peace out, man. Take it easy.
So, but they were doing canned air, not whippets.
Cans of air.
Like, okay, yeah.
You said whippet, though, so.
No, those not whippets. Whippets. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I said whippets. They were doing cans of air, huffing cans of air.
Yeah, that's bad. That's
terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of kids used to use, like, back in the day, it was, like, spray paint.
Oh, yeah.
They would, like, spray paint in, like, a paper bag and then nail it.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible.
Shoe dye. Gasoline. All kinds of stuff like
that. Yeah,
thinner.
I have a continuation of my whippet story, and then I have a gasoline story. So, I'll... Like, my so proud of my drug addiction. So after the greatest poetry that mankind has ever known was never to be seen again, I really loved the cocaine. And so one night I had a bunch of whippets and I had a bunch of cocaine and I had a bunch of weed. And I came up with a deal where you would take a bong hit, hold it in, and then you've already filled a balloon with a whippet. You exhale the bong hit, you inhale the whippet, blow it out, do a line of coke, and then lay down on the floor.
And die. Surprise.
And you just go, whoa, it was crazy.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
My roommate came home, and I'm like, dude, come in here. I'm like, you gotta try one of these. And I gave him one, and like after he recovered, he's like, okay, man, I'm fucking done. And I'm like, you don't want any more, man? Let's just keep going. And he's like, no, man, I'm out. And so I did it myself.
Oh.
Because I was a drug addict.
That's crazy.
And then I thought you were just a junkie. In the hospital.
I wasn't in the hospital, no. And so my gas story is from when I was a kid in McMinnville. I can't remember how old I was, but it was grade school. And somebody had told my stepbrother, or my stepbrother told me, like, you sniff the gas and then you get high. So we went and did it.
Gasoline?
Yes, gasoline. Ooh. Out of the gas can. Yeah. So I huffed the gasoline.
That killed kids.
And then I passed out and I had a vision. And I was in this black space that was filled with fog. And out of the fog came the fucking gas can man. And he was the gas can I had huffed out of. And gas funnels were his fucking arms and legs. Oh, and he started chasing me. Telling me not to fucking come back here ever again. And when I came to, I knew that I was never going to huff gas ever again.
Yeah, I think you had
the
died.
Gas can man told me, fucking don't.
You were dead, and gas can man was higher power going, don't fucking do this again. You get one shot, you're back.
I think you needed a pot inhale, whip it in, inhale, coke rail man to come out and tell you not to do that ever again.
That guy never fucking showed up. By then, my tolerance was so high, I needed something. I needed like a defibrillator.
That's what I needed. Like adrenaline.
Jesus. So here we are. Like, I don't even know how many minutes we're in, and we're just talking about dope, drugs, and alcohol.
I am.
Don't do them.
What have you done to this podcast, Kent?
I it's pretty good, huh?
Motherfucker.
So, how did you two meet?
Yeah, we haven't heard that story yet.
Or do you remember how you met?
I don't.
Because well, I guess it's your one pie.
He came up to my house and he told me this later. He was sitting on my couch and dangling his feet over this endless abyss. And I was talking to his friend that brought him up, and he wasn't saying anything. And
I was, that particular time, I was on psychedelic drugs. And I was, he had a seat out of a truck, like a bench seat, like next to his stove, or behind it.
Next to the wood stove.
Yeah. And I was sitting on that, and what I saw was infinite space. And my feet were dangling off the seat into infinite space. And that was what was happening.
And you were 17?
I don't know. I was young.
Around 17?
Yeah.
How old do you think you were, Ken?
19.
19?
Yeah.
That was a good try, though.
You're always 19.
Always.
We told him you weren't going to say it. So we had to ask.
Well, I may grow up someday. I don't have anything planned. No hurry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've known Ken for a long time.
And for our viewers out there, if you want to know what Kent looks like, can I describe how you look? He looks like a mix between like a skinny, handsome Santa and the Mandarin from Iron Man 3.
Well, I know the Mandarin is too.
It's Ben Kingsley.
It is Ben Kingsley.
I look like Ben Laden. Come on.
He plays a Bin Laden character. That's the Mandarin.
I don't know.
I need to look it up.
I think we all need to describe him. So I would describe Kent as looking
Santa.
Like... God damn it, I had it. He looks like a cross between the Mandarin and... the guy, Ram Dass, the guy that just died.
The guru guy?
Yeah.
And those both of those are almost bald. I got dreads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Mandarin. Hold on.
Oh my god, you're so
Mandarin funny. Orange. Oh, there he is! Totally!
So what do you think he looks like?
Well, I was thinking Santa. And then, now I gotta go with this guy.
Yeah.
Santa, but with dreadlocks on top of his head.
Yeah, so like
on a knot
Santa beard.
Ben Kingsley from Iron
Ben
Man.
Ben Kingsley, Mandarin hat, hairdo.
Not Mandarin hairdo. Dreads.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna say it, probably one of the sexiest guests we've had on the show.
Hands down, like.
No doubt.
Yeah, hands down. Like, I don't know, Matt. pretty sexy.
Matt, oh God.
Yeah.
Matt is sexy. He's a good
climb Matt
dude.
Like a fucking tree. Like when I was a kid.
Like a monkey climbing a coconut tree.
Yeah. Put a rope swing in and just have fun all day.
Oh my God. And then he can sing Pitch Perfect songs to you. And
yeah. And then we can eat bread and poop together.
That was the first dirty part of the whole thing.
I know. We didn't say poopy once. So proud of us.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, Amazon. Hey, everybody. We're back from our break.
Oops.
We just gave Justin a Christmas present of a Queens of the Stone Age shirt that apparently in Japan, double XL is
small,
medium or small.
A large. It's like a melarge.
And then we're also, Justin and Kent are eating sugar, like completely scarfing sugar right now.
It's not sugar! It doesn't make me speak! No!
And Kent just did a fucking whip it, apparently. Or he's inhaling O2 or something.
They had eclairs in the fridge. Yeah. So on the break, we decided to partake.
Nom, nom, nom. So, this has been the J2K drug edition. And I want to just say that I'm extremely sorry, Kareem, that you're not here. As a fellow trudger on this trail that I'm on of recovery, I'm sure you have some amazing drug stories that you could have told. You know, so I apologize. I don't know about the rest of these people. They are sometimes rude, so.
I'm good, fuck.
Yeah, see? I told you. I'm also recovering from, we had some chicken. Me and Kent back in the day used to make chickens. Whole chickens that we'd marinate in tamari, which is a sodium light soy sauce. And we would cover them with cayenne pepper and garlic powder and marinate them for 3 days or so and then bake them. Mm-hmm. And it's, skin is especially super, super hot.
Mm.
And the juices that are left over after the chicken's made, I just dipped a couple pieces of chicken in it, the juices, and it is a clear indicator of how much cayenne pepper was placed on that chicken.
Who did it?
Some motherfucker did it because it's hot. Oof, man. My sinuses are cleared up better than yellow mustard at the Chinese restaurant.
Love that yellow mustard.
Mustard's
good.
Mm-hmm. You got the accents down. I like it.
He does.
Don't touch the boy.
What is that one?
You don't got any French fry taters in there?
God damn it, Sandusky.
He's so good at the accents. Your pirate's still my favorite, though.
Yes, it be.
He's such a good pirate.
I think my favorite is the kid off of Nacho Libre. Those are pros.
Oh, no, that's Steven,
his
partner.
Uh-huh.
And I've taken it to another level because I've watched the movie again, and he doesn't ever say it like I've said it. But he's just like, those guys are pros. And I like to turn into like, but I'm a pro.
He got, we were playing this golf game on our phones, and he got to like, I was, I don't know, rookie, and he got to pro, and oh my God. I'm a pro. And he kept showing me his phone.
I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm a pro.
Hey, I got a pirate joke.
Arr!
All right, so this guy goes into the bar dressed as a pirate on Halloween. He's got a pirate hat. He's got a stuffed parrot on his shoulder. He's got an eye patch. He's got a ship's wheel bolted to his belt buckle. So the bartender goes, you know, that's really a nice costume, but why the ship's wheel?
It be driving me nuts, ha-har!
You know that one!
Prepare to be bitten, boarded, and beaten, but not in that order.
I forgot my pirate hat. I was going to bring it.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see my flag out front?
I know. We're flying the pirate flag.
I'm flying the fucking Rogers. Skull and crossbones.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And I put it up and was admiring it. The wind was blowing slightly, so it's fluttering. I step out on the sidewalk to admire it, and down the road I hear, "Ahoy!" And I'm like, "Arr!"
One of the neighbors.
I met a new friend.
Oh, God damn it, now we know another neighbor.
Uh-oh.
No, he was a contractor working for a neighbor, so he doesn't live here. We have his card to side the house if we ever...
That eclair was awesome.
It was very chocolatey.
You should share the eclairs with the audience.
Give them all. You guys can all have one. Go ahead and help yourself.
Yum.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to JQ Podcast, and we will mail you one.
Yeah.
In a letter envelope.
Email us at j2kpodcast@gmail.com, and I will send you a picture of the eclair.
We could get one in the envelope. You just kind of put it in there and step on it. It'll go through the mail.
Well, they have those envelopes now. You can just put it in there. You don't have to squish it. The post office will take care of that.
Oh.
Do you remember before electronics when we all ate clairs? And now they have these eclairs. I don't get it.
We just ate clairs.
These kids, you know. We used to have to eat clairs back
then. And they're
in my
fucking
day.
Fancy eclairs.
Getting
and their email.
Maybe you could email me one for tomorrow.
So, Kent, since you're new to the podcast, I have a couple questions I'd like to ask you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, after you take a dump, do you stand up and wipe, or you sit down and wipe?
Definitely sit down.
Right on.
Definitely.
So, but do you... See, what we found is there's different levels. So, Justin, squats up a little bit. Like, he's concerned about his hand going below the...
Inside the toilet.
Yeah, the level of the bowl. So, do you get up off there so your hand's not below the level? Because mine's below the level. Or at the level. Like, I just lean over and get a good wipe. The seat helps me get a good spread.
I'm speechless.
Well, you don't want to get that deep into it?
I
knuckles?
That's why I stand. I don't want my hand getting that deep into the toilet.
I did go in the bathroom the other day, and the toilet had gotten plugged up, and it was dark in there, and I sat down, and my...
Your nuts touched?
Memorial. It went right in it. It was, like, terrible.
We've been telling Justin that. Apparently that happens as you age.
So I don't know how the hell your nuts are touching water if you're fucking 19.
Well, the water was very high.
All right, I get it.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Because I'm 52, and my nuts fucking touch the water at low levels.
Yeah, but...
This is out of my depth, I tell you.
like two kiwis in a sock, in a gym sock.
Yeah, like a long tube sock.
Taking the scrape boot.
That's right. Well,
that fire is looking beautiful.
I just want to thank Kent for being on the show tonight, and we miss you, Kareen. As always, we love you. We wish you were here. And we're going to end this with our song, and we'll be back in just a second with a song.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, at the end of every show, we like to do a little thing, and it goes something like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. J2K.
This podcast was accidentally our drug show.
Dude,
Christine hasn't partaken, but she still likes whippets.
J2K.
We hope you all had a fucking Christmas, if you celebrate.
Happy Hanukkah.
Kent says he's 19, but looks like the Mandarin and Santa.
Remember, everybody, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at J2K Podcast.
Look for us on MySpace. You won't find us, but look for us anyway.
Yeah, if you can remember your MySpace password and get into it. Is it still up?
I don't know.
Damn it.
I don't have one, so.
I bet I can get it up.
Yeah.
Whoa.
When you go watch the Mandarin scenes later. So, please email us at j2kpodcast@gmail.com. And yes, Kareem.
And don't remember our hashtags. I mean, don't forget our hashtags.
Oh, yeah. Hashtag all the dope. Hashtag totes dope AF. Hashtag sit or stand.
Hashtag sit to pee.
Or hashtag dab my hole.
Or hashtag cow poop mushrooms.
Now you're just making shit up. All right, peace out.